Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
I'd say a lot of my motion I've based off of Jacob deGrom and his like tempo and his delivery. Like he pitches like he's almost like he throws like low 90s, like he has to be crafty, like just to get people off balance, but then it's 98 to 101 consistently with a ton of carry. He's missing bats every time. It's 13 strikeouts per night every single outing. It's just so fun to watch.
Yeah, I didn't want to make that comparison to Jacob deGrom, but you know, when you're lining yourselves up, you pretty much have the same motion. It's that slow, controlled windup and delivery, and then it's just flying out of the hand at 100 and the slider, you know, low 90s.
Ready through the first five hitters.
Slider, the change, the quick pitch.
Welcome to the Couch GM Podcast. A great episode today as I have on Noble Meyer, who is the Miami Marlins' number one overall prospect in their system. He was drafted 10th overall by the Marlins in the 2023 MLB Draft. And as we get into in this podcast, his ceiling is quite high. We go through his story up to this point, including some behind the scenes of his draft day in Seattle, Washington. We also get into his first exposure in professional baseball once he got down to Florida and talk through that insane rotation that the Miami Marlins have in their depth at starting pitching and that rotation that he might be pitching in relatively soon. A big shout out to Northwest Sports Management Group, who is located here in Vancouver, Washington. They represent Noble Meyer and were able to make this podcast happen. They also represent some other high tier athletes that we'll be getting on the podcast in the near future. Also a big shout out to Playmaker Sports Bar and Grill, located in Ridgefield, Battleground, and Vancouver, Washington, for being the official watch spot of the Couch GM for this upcoming season. And as always, if you'd like to support the Couch GM brand, make sure to like and subscribe on YouTube. If you're listening to the audio version, make sure to give us a 5-star review. And of course, if you're thinking of buying, selling, or refinancing in the Pacific Northwest, I am a mortgage lender during the day, so reach out to the Couch GM to hit a home run with your mortgage financing needs. And with that, let's get into the podcast. All right, welcome to the Couch GM Podcast. Today I have on Marlins top prospect, Noble Meyer, drafted 10th overall in the 2023 MLB Draft. So first off, Noble, really appreciate you taking the time today.
Of course.
We're getting close to like 2 weeks, 2 to 3 weeks until you report to Florida. Do you have a report date that you're heading down, and how has your offseason been so far?
Yeah, I do have a report date. I'll be down there February 12th, and offseason has been great. I put on like 10, almost 15 pounds since offseason hit, and like gotten a lot stronger. I'm ramping up the velo right now. And yeah, I'm excited for this next season.
What's your go-to meal bin with your bulk you're on?
Culver's chicken sandwich. It's kind of, I don't think they have any up in Seattle or up in the Washington area or Oregon, but it's like that Midwestern, kind of like a Dairy Queen, but their chicken sandwiches are like not terrible for you, and they're pretty high calorie, and I've been crushing them.
Awesome. Yeah, so I definitely like to get into your off season and what that routine has looked like. But first I want to start back with your childhood growing up and how you got into sports and baseball. So, you might know I'm in Vancouver, Washington, just across the river from where you grew up, West Lynn, Portland area. So walk me through your upbringing and how you got into sports initially, into baseball, and what that looked like.
Yeah. Grew up in West Lynn, a handful of miles south of Portland. And my dad, he played baseball for a little bit, like growing up, but I don't think he even played in high school. He was big into tennis and basketball, but he was a big baseball fan. And when I was growing up, he introduced me to T-ball and like playing wiffle ball in the backyard while my mom was taking care of my brother. And that's kind of where I started to really like love baseball, just playing wiffle ball. And then, yeah, growing up, played T-ball. And eventually, once I was 10, I had an opportunity to play for an ex-major leaguer, Trevor Wilson, and with his son, Paul Wilson, who this past year got drafted to the Tigers in the third round. When I was 10 up until I was, when was it, 16, 15 or 16, I played with Paul and Trevor Wilson, and Paul and I became best friends, still are. And Paul was always incredible at baseball. He was like throwing 10, 15 miles an hour harder than everybody in middle school. And he's the kid you didn't want to face because he was terrifyingly good. And I always wanted to be as good as him. And I just wanted to like catch up so we could like live out a dream of playing in the major leagues together. And once high school hit, I really started to hit a bunch of growth spurts. And that's kind of when that dream really became like, oh, like this could be very real. And yeah, throughout high school, like I kept getting bigger, kept getting stronger, really obsessed over my mechanics. And like, next thing you know, I'm throwing 95. I get invited to the PDP circuit out in North Carolina, and there I hit 98. And that's kind of when I like jumped onto the scene as like the potential top high school pick or top high school pitcher. And yeah, once draft came, I mean, that was pretty surreal. And yeah, and then my family moved out to Arizona now, so I've been training out here in the hot weather. Don't have to worry
about
it.
Get outside playing catch all the time instead of indoors.
A little better than Oregon weather, but
yeah,
it's great down here.
Cool. So sounds like Paul was a little bit ahead of you growing up. And then at what point did you, you know, meet his level and then maybe exceed it at some point?
I think it was sophomore year where I caught up to him in velo, where he hit 90. He was at 90, and he was kind of stuck at 90 for all of his freshman year, like over that quarantine era. Mm-hmm. Quarantine, like when COVID hit, is really when I made like the biggest stride, because I kind of just was able to sit down and only focus on like just getting stronger. Because I mean, I couldn't really do much else. And then our sophomore year, I hit 92 and he hit 91. So that was kind of the first time like I'd ever thrown harder than him. Okay. Then he jumped back up. He hit like 95 later that year. And I was like, oh, okay.
Jeez.
And I was at 94. Then junior year is kind of when it all like separated, where I was 95 the whole year. He was also throwing 95. I think he hit 96 in high school. So he threw harder in high school. Then that summer hit and I hit 98. And that's kind of when I like had that big uptick. And then eventually I kept going up to even 101 in one of my bullpens. Or 101 in one of my senior high school games. I hit 100 later that year.
I saw a picture of an iPad to where it was like 100 point something.
Yeah.
I think that was when you were at U of O or something like that.
No, that was actually up in Vancouver. That was the Northwest Athletic Center. It's where Northwest Futures trains. I was throwing a bullpen. I honestly didn't even feel good that day. And I was throwing and realized, oh, wow, I'm like sitting 98 right now. And ramped a few up. I'd never hit 99 before. And I hit 100.2. Started jumping up and down because like I hit 100. Like, that's ridiculous.
That's a wild number.
Like, yeah, it was a lifelong dream. Like, I never would have thought I'd be able to throw 100 miles an hour. And yeah, I hit 100.2 before I hit 99, which was pretty funny. And then the very next pitch was 99, so it all works out.
Skip right over it.
Yeah.
So now going back to your childhood, it sounds like you only played baseball growing up. Is that right?
Basketball and kind of soccer. I not very competitively, just kind of the rec league where you run around and chase the ball.
Okay. And then, you know, growing up in Portland, the closest team was the Mariners. Which team, if any, were you watching and paying attention to growing up?
I was a huge Mariners fan growing up. My dad took me to probably 30 games throughout my childhood. Like I grew up a big Felix Hernandez fan. I loved Ichiro. One of my favorite Mariners, even though I don't know if people know him as a Mariner, but Raul Ibanez, because every time I was there, he was always 2 for 3 with a double and a home run. So he slowly became my favorite player. And yeah, I've always followed them. Still a fan. Yeah.
Yeah. And then were there any pitchers that you were watching growing up? And were you focusing on pitching from a young age? Like, hey, I want to be a pitcher. Or was it just, I want to play in baseball?
I really just wanted to play baseball. I was a big Felix fan. And I also like Fernando Rodney. James Paxton was was cool. Was it Mike Montgomery, I think? I got signed baseball by him, so I was a huge fan of him. But really, if they were a Mariners pitcher, I liked them.
Yeah. And then growing up, you know, when you started to figure out your pitching motion, how to throw the ball, did you kind of develop it around watching certain guys, or was it just what felt natural and what the pitching coaches were telling you with advice?
It was kind of a bit of everything. Like, I kind of just gathered all the knowledge I had and tried to put it into one big collection of just how to throw a ball. Like certain tips and tricks I took from different players. Like, I'd say a lot of my motion I've based off of Jacob deGrom and his like tempo and his delivery. And then there's certain things I've taken from, like, I don't know, Garrett Cole or just really any pitcher. Like, I see, try and like look for things that make them stand out and try and incorporate that into my delivery.
Yeah, I didn't want to make that comparison to Jacob deGrom, but, you know, when you're lining yourselves up, you pretty much have the same motion. It's that slow, you know, controlled wind up and delivery, and then it's just flying out of the hand at 100 in the slider, you know, low 90s. Growing up, so you go into middle school, you get into high school, you mentioned that you started to grow at that point. When did you start playing in the various showcases, and when did you start to notice that you were starting to get some looks?
Looks as in like collegiate or professional?
I guess both, because you committed to U of O. So I want to get into what that process looked like too.
Yeah. As far as U of O, my, like when COVID hit, I was throwing like 77. Like I was 6 foot, 145 pounds, like just a twig. And throughout COVID, I got way stronger. I put on 30, 40 pounds. Come out of it about 180, that like that August after what, August of 2020. And towards the end of August, I go down to Georgia because I got an invite to the PBR Futures Games, where it's kind of like that showcase for like the top uncommitted guys. And there I like almost randomly jumped up to like 87 or 88 miles an hour. And that's kind of when I started getting looks from colleges. And it was I kind of consider it a fraudulent 87, 88, because it was, not that it wasn't 88, but just I wasn't spinning it very well. They're pretty much like bad cutters. So they're barrel finder fastballs. I didn't have an off speed. So it was like, I don't know, not a quality 88. So I kind of tried to reinvent that and make it to where, like, I'm throwing fastballs that like have high spin efficiency, right. They spin well, they move a lot, and I actually have a secondary that I can go off of. And that's ultimately where I developed my slider that has become my favorite pitch. But yeah, after that event, Oregon reached out, Washington State, Oregon State a week or two after that, and Stanford and Harvard, just because I went to a Jesuit private school up in Oregon.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
And yeah, eventually I found Oregon was the best fit. The facilities were amazing. The coaches were incredible. It was an hour and 45 minute drive from home, so it wasn't bad at all.
Sponsored by Nike.
That too. That was pretty nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then after that, I still maintain a great rapport with the coaches. But as far as pro looks, year after that, I was getting 92, 93, and the scouts were taking notice of it because I'm getting a lot of strikeouts and I'm not walking many people. And they come over to like our field, like that I'm playing with for my club team. And they were like, oh, wait, this kid's not bad. So they kind of just kept an eye on me. And that junior summer is really when that kind of blew up, where I got a PDP and all of a sudden I'm 98, throwing the hardest in the class, or I guess tied for the hardest at that point. I think there's three different guys that hit 98, but really, really blew up on the scene. And all of a sudden, like, scouts are like, oh, it's potential first high school pitcher taken off the board, potential first high schooler taken off the board. But yeah, that was kind of when I started to get the big looks. And then over the span of the next year, just focus on like refining like the different aspects of the game, like fastball command, making sure my fastball is not like super flat and hittable. Because I mean, like, that was sometimes a problem. I got a lot of run, but sometimes just found barrel. But yeah.
Yeah, so you described initially your fastball, you know, it wasn't a quality 88 or 87 to where it had some cut to it. It seems like you're definitely an analytics guy and a numbers guy. So at what point did you start getting into the numbers? Was it at your freshman year of high school? And yeah, walk me through the process of what you're looking at. And as you've been developing your arsenal, you know, kind of walk us through the average fan, what it looks like and what your ideal arsenal is.
So winter of 2020, right after that like event down in Georgia, was right when I started to like really dive deep into like the analytics and all of that, because I figured like getting strong is really going to help me so far. Like, I'm going to need to know like what plays best and like how am I going to take advantage of everything that's given to me. And numbers was kind of like, I've always been big with math and like science and all that. So it was very, it was immediately very interesting to me. And I just loved it immediately, because I would change something slightly and I'd look at the TrackMan or Rapsodo or whatever I was using. And I'd try and understand like, okay, I changed this and the numbers are showing that this is different. How can I make this better? And that's really how I've developed my slider. And now I'm working on my fastball, doing the same thing, trying to keep a low arm slot while also getting a little more vert with my fastball to kind of give it that approach where like that path is going to be here. And I'm trying to get the ball to be coming in this way to make that swing and miss a lot more, like a lot more pop-ups, a lot more weak contact, and like just swinging right under it.
Yeah.
And right now fastball, as far as arsenal, fastball, mid to high 90s, slider, like mid 80s, really high spin, big sweeper, changeup, also around mid 80s, occasionally up to 90 if I'm throwing hard. That's just, it's a ton of run, slower than the fastball, and a little bit of drop. And then a curveball that I've been working on for the past year or so. It's gotten pretty good. That's kind of mid 70s, maybe even low 70s, and super high spin. Like, I've thrown at like 3400 RPMs, and just that's kind of just more of a steal a strike pitch where it just looks like fastball out of the hand, looks way over your head, and just kind of drops in.
Yeah. Do you have a baseball on you by chance?
I should somewhere. I do.
Cool. Yeah, let's go through your pitch grips and take a look at that.
Yeah. Four-seam fastball. There we go. Four-seam fastball. Slider.
Okay.
Yeah. Just it's kind of almost a cutter grip.
Yeah.
To where I'm holding it on the seams like
that. It's not like one of those extreme slider grips.
Yeah, but I'm kind of almost tilting it like that to where I'm getting on the side of my fingers and just pulling it through that way.
Okay.
Changeup. Just offsetting and then using that, this ring finger to just pull through like that. And then curveball, just kind of basic on the horseshoe and just kind of ripping down on top of it like that.
Cool. So with the changeup, are you pronating at all, or are you just kind of throwing it like a fastball? Okay. You're pronating.
Little pronation right here. And then trying to use this ring finger to not quite snap through, but just be on the side, and it's pulling across versus like pulling down.
Okay. Yeah. Awesome. And then have you messed around with any additional pitches, or do you plan to add any additional pitches?
I've messed around with like a split change where it's like, it's very, very comfortable in my hand. Like, there's no tension and it's just right here. And just kind of pulling down that way, trying to get the one seam to just give it a little sink. There's something in the works. I don't know if it's going to pan out, but
yeah.
And then a cutter, like just something that's not the fastball, different shape, not a slider. Just kind of in between to where I'm going to get weak contact, get easy outs. That way I can work deeper into the game.
Yeah. And since you follow the Mariners, you might know a little bit about this with Logan Gilbert learning a splitter. Bryce Miller's learning a splitter this offseason. And a big reason for that is because some pitchers with a pronation, they have a difficulty commanding that pitch. And with the splitter, you're able to stay behind the ball. It has the same type of movement, but you're just throwing it like a fastball.
Yeah.
That's interesting to hear. Yeah, walk us through, you know, you start getting scouted by U of O, you commit there, you start to, see a bunch of radar guns in the stands during your games. You start to figure, hey, this might be happening. Walk us through going into that senior year. I don't know if you saw the player profile I made on you, but I was just trying to imagine myself being the average high school hitter trying to just make varsity. And then you're hearing the leather popping. And it's like, what's that over there? It's like, I haven't heard that sound before. So yeah, walk us through your senior year to start.
Yeah, senior year, game one was against Skyview, I think, up in up in Vancouver. And that was over at University of Portland. And I had hit 100 in that game at some point through like four innings, I think 9 strikeouts. And that was the only game I had less than 10 strikeouts.
Wow.
And it's still 9 through 4. And after that, it was always 12, 13, 12, 12, 13, 14. I had one with 60 in my junior year through 6 innings.
Did you average like 5, 6 innings?
I think I averaged 6. I went all 7 4 times. Once against Calvary Christian, because we had a big tournament over in North Carolina, that National High School Invitational, and Calvary Christian was the top team in the nation at the time, and we got matched up with them round one. And I went 7 innings, 2 runs, neither were earned, but I mean, baseball happens. It's there's errors. It's bound to happen. I've come to terms with that. 2 hits and 10 strikeouts. And that was probably, I think, one of the best games like that I've pitched in my life, because like with how high of a caliber team that was to go all 7 and like still come out like feeling like I did really well. I think that was really like probably one of, if not the best, one of the best games that I pitched. But as far as like complete games, high school state championship and 2 others against like our league rivals with 2 over in West Portland, out by where we are. And yeah, like my coach would want me to, like, oh yeah, we've got a reliever ready, like you're good. And I'd just be like, no, I'll stay in.
Yeah,
this is my game. I want to finish this one. But yeah, it was a fun season. I've lost in a state championship, unfortunately, but it was really fun. I miss high school ball sometimes, but I mean, it's hard to say no to professional baseball.
Right. Yeah. I mean, we'll get into in a bit kind of the pitching environment that you're heading into with the Marlins. Mm-hmm. But in that senior year, you finished that out. You heading into the draft, what's that process like? Because I know you're up in Seattle for the draft, walking on the stage. Walk us through that month leading up to the draft, maybe some of the combine or the interviews that you had, and then, you know, that day in Seattle.
Mm-hmm. I'll start with the combine. Combine is super fun out here in Phoenix. I had 10 interviews with, I think, teams picking from 5 through like 16, with the exception of 2. They were all wonderful, like great meetings. Like I got to talk with, sometimes it was the director of scouting. Sometimes like it was even the general manager that was there. Every single one of them, they're great guys. Like I've kind of realized, like in the baseball community, like it's hard to find somebody who just isn't a great person. Like it's, I don't know what it is. Maybe it's just how baseball humbles you, but
right.
They seem to be a lot of great people and like just baseball in general. But yeah, combine was great. I got to do a couple of the physical activities like vertical, broad jump, 30-yard dash, I think. I enjoyed all of it. And yeah, interviews went really well. But after that, kind of just became like a big ball of stress that kept getting bigger because it's kind of weird not knowing where I'm going to go, especially with my family talking about moving to Arizona. I was hoping like a team that had spring training in Arizona. Yeah. That would be really ideal because, I mean, we're 10 minutes from the Rangers and Royals complex. So that would have been perfect, going to the Rangers or the Royals. But, I mean, I absolutely can't complain with the Marlins. Marlins are, I mean, wonderful. Being out in Florida is definitely a change of scenery. And going from Oregon all the way out to the other side of the country, very other side of the country. It's hot and humid there. But yeah. It's been wonderful. There's tons of good people. As far as the draft day was very, very, very stressful. Just not knowing like what's going to happen, not knowing where I'm going to go. Cause I'm thinking like every pick, like, oh, could this be me? Could this be me? Who's this going to be? Like, just to keep myself distracted, I was trying to guess who each pick would be. And I got most of them right. But yeah, it was that whole span. I think it was about a month in between when high school season ended and draft day. It was just very chaotic, just talking to scouts, talking to my agent about like what teams are interested. And yeah, I'm glad that it happened, but also kind of glad that it's over.
Yeah, right. Yeah. You at least know what's in front of you and you can start working towards something.
Yeah, it's great having like a concrete path set up for the next handful of years.
So at the MLB draft, is it like, you know, on TV with the NFL draft, where there's that?
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Room in the background. There's the tables. You're just different guys sitting at the tables, and you're just waiting for your phone to ring. So were you alerted before the Marlins actually picked you that it was coming, or was it when your name was called?
Sort of. My agent called me and said, hey, Marlins want you at 10. And I was, he's like, how does that sound? I'm like, absolutely. That sounds amazing. And I wasn't 100% sure, because I don't know if that was like, oh, the Marlins want you. Like, are you okay with that? Or if it was like the Marlins are going to pick you. I couldn't tell the difference.
Yeah.
And so I got to 10. I was like, oh, is this actually going to be my name, or am I getting thrown for a loop here? And it ended up being my name, which is awesome. And I hardly remember anything after that, cause I was just in euphoria.
Yeah. Just black out, walk across the stage, shake the hand, put on the jersey and the hat, and you wake up the next day or in a couple hours, you're like, oh wow, this is actually happening.
Yeah, I got interviewed by Xavier Scruggs up on stage, and I can't remember a single word I said up there.
You have to go back to YouTube and watch it back.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So then you get drafted, you walk off the stage. You know, what's that next day, the next week? Do you go down to Miami immediately for that initial meeting?
Not quite. So I got to stay and watch the All-Star game the next day, which was really awesome. It was a great game.
Auburn Derby too.
Yep, that was cool. Yeah. And I went down to, went back down to Portland to home for next week and a half or so, or 2 weeks. And after that 2 weeks, went out to Florida went out to Miami, go watch a game and like do that publicity thing. Like up there in the suite with our second rounder, Kemp Alderman. And like show the camera on us, like up on the screen, like, oh, here's Marlon's first and second rounder. And then later, or right before that, signed and got all of that out of the way. And as soon as that game was over, somebody drove us up to Jupiter where the spring training complex is. And okay. immediately Kemp and I started in a complex league the next day.
So it was really quick.
Super quick, yeah. It was all a span of 1 day, or I guess 2 days. So I got there the day before. Get to Miami, next day, the game, the signing, all of that. And after the game, just drive out to Jupiter and just start professional baseball. And that was...
Lead up, yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of a handful, but it's been fun.
Do you recall who was starting pitching that day for the game that you went to?
Would have been Braxton Garrett.
Braxton Garrett.
Yeah.
How much of the Marlins have you seen up to this point? And because if you look at the depth chart for the Marlins, their starting rotation is going to be one of the best in baseball, really, for the next 5+ years. Like mm-hmm. 1 through 5 are just nasty guys.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, Lizardo is ridiculous.
He's
a monster. Alcantara, when he's healthy and when he's back and healthy, I'm expecting another Cy Young season. Max Meyer, I got a chance to meet while he was rehabbing down in Jupiter, and awesome guy, and he's definitely going to be a stud. Who else they got? I mean, Braxton Garrett is legit. Thomas White, their comp pick in draft this past year, he's incredible. Lefty with he's already like sitting mid to high nines with like 20 inches of vert. Like he's not a fun catch partner, I'll say that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm very excited for the future of that.
Yeah, and I mean, Edward Cabrera, he's got like a 95-mile-an-hour changeup. And then Yuri Perez, he comes up rookie year, and he's
–
all these guys, you know, are high 90s with just disgusting off speed.
Yeah, it's ridiculous amount of potential just sitting there. It's going to be really exciting.
Yeah, and so Thomas White was actually still there when the Mariners – one of their comp picks came up, and I was really hoping that they would have taken him because just looking at the potential of that guy. But – for the Marlins to be able to take you and Thomas White, the top two high school pitchers in the draft, basically. I mean, that's pretty cool. So you get down to playing in rookie ball. It looks like you got in 5 games last year in your first exposure to, or at least on the stat sheet, 5 games.
Yeah. Five and single, I believe. I had 2 like short outings in a complex league, which were, I had first time throwing in like what it would have been. 2 months, but they were, it was kind of that introduction in the complex league. And then as soon as I jumped up to single A, that's when like that was like pitch clock, which was new, facing like professional hitters that are like up to 3-4 years older than me, even sometimes like 25. Like that's when it really started to like, oh, here's like, here's where it gets tough.
Yeah. So walk me through your development or that learning curve that you started to experience that year.
Yeah. Nothing like blew me out of the water immediately. Like granted it's single A, it's kind of like the low level of the minor leagues. Like I'm kind of assuming once I hit like maybe even high A, but like really double A and hopefully triple A at that point. That's kind of when like I'm going to really start seeing like, oh, these guys are like incredible. Like these guys should be up in the pros. They're just still too young. Like that's when I'm really expecting like that's, these guys are incredible. But single A, like it was, you throw strikes, you're probably going to get outs. And that kind of really displayed where a lot of our best starters were guys that are, 89 to 92, just good sink on it. And they just, mm-hmm. command east west, just throw inside outside, and they just got outs. They had a 1 ERA, like those guys dominated. And then those guys that are like specifically our Latin guys where they're throwing 97 with like a good breaking ball, those guys like super high strikeout rate, high walk rate too. Like it's kind of, there was a lot of raw talent, and that was kind of like what stood out is you either had raw talent or you had guys that are very skilled. And I think double A are going to be those guys that are raw talent and then have skill too. and vice versa. Like with guys that have skill, they start getting stronger, and then they build that like talent, I guess. They get stronger, they throw harder, or they hit harder, like things like that. But I'm excited to see like what the development levels are going to look like what that next step is to each different level in the minor leagues.
Yeah. And then with some of those other draftees, were you playing alongside them both at rookie ball and then an A ball? Like, it was Thomas White playing at the same time? Did you guys get moved up around the same time?
Yeah. I got moved up to single A, I think like 5 days before he did, or maybe a week. Like we played a series over in Port St. Lucie, about maybe 35 minutes away from Jupiter. Played in that series. I pitched in one of those games, and I believe next series, Thomas was he was with us by that point.
So then, heading into 2024, what have you been working this offseason to improve with your development, if anything?
Yeah, like I said earlier, with the fastball shape, really trying to maintain a low attack angle or approach angle. To where I'm missing bats, I can throw at top of the zone and still get like those pop-ups. And then just getting stronger, being able to throw harder, maintain command. Command is really high priority for me, like being able to throw strikes, because I rarely walked anybody in high school. And when I start walking people, that's when it starts like, okay, that's really, it's a direct correlation to just ERA inflation, because like, free bases, runner gets on, all of a sudden those hits that should have been nobody on is a hit with a runner on base. Now it's first and third versus guy on first, or right. It was a second ago. So yeah, that's kind of main priority, is just being able to throw strikes. And then once I'm able to throw strikes, throwing where I want, like inside, outside, hitting spot, top of the zone, bottom of the zone, changeup command, slider command, all that comes, I don't want to say it comes second, because obviously that's important, but like throwing strikes is number one.
Yeah. And as you mentioned, it's kind of like a compound effect. Once you start allowing base runners, it compounds on itself, and that's when the ERA starts to blow up.
Yeah.
And like with the Mariners again, you know, their slogan is dominate the zone. And yeah. So if you're just living in the zone, get that first strike, then yeah. the numbers are so much better for pitchers.
Yeah.
And then walk me through your offseason routine workouts. I'm curious, you know, what type of drills you do to dial in command. Do you just kind of pull back a little bit on the velocity and trying to, you know, throw 100%? Are you sitting 80% and then you're just trying to spot it up in the offseason?
I think biggest thing for command is catch play, and just focusing on hitting a spot in catch play, like having your partner hold target just right here, and just work on just hitting that spot over and over again. Or just moving it to the other side, just playing that game where like you have the glove, like chest is 2 points and head is 3 points, and first to 15 wins, like that. Those kind of games, like it sounds simple, it sounds rudimentary, but like it'll really like really help with command, and just like being able to hit a spot like when you need it, or just throw it over the plate. And then obviously when you get off the mound, just working on like splitting the plate into halves, like here's outside fastball, here's inside fastball, here's slider off the plate, here's slider, like backdoor slider, slider on the plate, like just those kind of things where like it doesn't sound too complicated, but in the long run, that's really going to help just by practicing that over and over again.
And then are you playing long toss throughout the off season, or, you know, you mentioned at the beginning that you're starting to ramp velocity back up. So what does that look like?
Yeah, just getting back into it, starting to like work up my intent levels in bullpens, and like working on just speeding up my body again, getting ready to get off the mound, and like when facing hitters, like getting ready to really start treating it as if it were like in season, to where I'm like, I gotta be physically ready.
Yeah. And then walk me through from start to start, like your recovery, what that looked like, that process. In high school, you get done with a start. Do you ice your arm immediately? You know, what do those next few days look like?
Yeah. So I guess for the sake of the description, my games were, or the games I was pitching in were Fridays this past like season. Saturday is going to be super light throwing. Sometimes, depending on how I feel and how much I threw the day before, like it's either light throwing, like maybe 45 feet, or maybe not even throw at all.
Yeah.
Day after Sunday would be like get back into it, throw a little farther, start to, get that blood flowing again, get ready. Almost like it's stage one to get ready for the next start. And then Monday will be day before a bullpen to where I'm, probably stretching out a little bit, get up to 200 feet, like light, long toss. Tuesday, bullpen, just light, 20, 25 pitches. Wednesday would be 90 feet typically. Thursday, also around 90 feet, nothing too strenuous. Sometimes stretch out to 120. And then Friday game.
Okay. So it's really like one bullpen in between the rest of the day.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Is you're kind of just tossing around,
yeah,
staying loose, and then you're ready to go for Friday?
Yeah. What I do want to start doing is getting off the mound more. Not necessarily a bullpen, but playing catch on a mound, I think, is really beneficial because I think, like, if you're throwing off mound in game, like, don't you want to replicate that as much as you can to where, like, your motion when playing catch, like, on flat ground in the outfield is going to be slightly different than when you're playing catch on a mound because you have that slope, which, like, takes a pretty large effect. And I think, like, the more you can play catch off the mound, more, like, repeatable your delivery is going to be. Ultimately, more command, more consistency you're going to have.
Absolutely. That just makes sense.
Yeah.
And then are you a cold plunger? Do you do the sauna? Have you tried any of those types of things with recovery yet?
No, I'm big on like rolling out like everything post throw, post workout, maintaining mobility, lots of stretches pre and post workout and bullpen and catch play, all that. But as far as a cold plunge and all that, haven't quite been introduced to that, but I assume I will be at some point.
Yeah. Mick Abel went to Jesuit as well. And I believe you were a freshman when he was a senior.
Yeah.
And he was selected 15th overall in the draft that year. Were you on varsity freshman year? And were you able to take some out of seeing Mick Abel close up?
Unfortunately, I wasn't varsity freshman year. I was... Yeah, like I said earlier, I was 6 foot, 145, throwing like 74 miles an hour or 77 miles an hour, whatever it was. Like I wasn't quite varsity material.
Yeah,
I was a solid freshman, I'd say. Mm-hmm. But we had a couple freshmen who are now playing off collegiately. Like we had three freshmen total play on JV, and our JV and varsity practiced together all the time. We had varsity field and a freshman field. Like it was. Mm-hmm. Just separated in two when we had three teams. So those guys who played JV now, they got a chance to see Mick. I think a couple of them got to face him. But yeah, they're all playing it. One's at U of O, Ryan Cooney. One's at Oregon State, Levi Jones. And one's at Michigan, Brock Lightgeb. Like our that 2023 class for Jesuit was ridiculous because on top of those three, me, who was going to U of O and then eventually got drafted. We had Ty Allman, who's at Santa Clara. Another guy going to Regis in Colorado. Chapman in California. Pomona Pitzer in California. Like, it was a ridiculous class. I think, what was that? Six? No. I think five going D1 and then eight going collegiately, all in one class, which is absurd.
What was your regular season record as a team? Were you undefeated in the regular season?
We lost two games. If you don't count that tournament out in Carolina, we lost two games to teams in Oregon and then lost the state championship. But as far as the state championship tournament, we mercy ruled every team except for the semifinals, and we lost state championship. But
man,
yeah, we were. I don't think Oregon will see a class like that, because that team, or just a team like that with what? Because we had not only that, but we had a, at the time, sophomore, now junior, committed to Gonzaga. We have a kid who's now a senior who's committed to Hawaii. I think another one committed to Portland. I'm not entirely sure about that, but like that team was, I don't know, that I don't think high school baseball was ready for that team.
Yeah, man. And then do you recall how you guys did against Paul Wilson that year?
Never played him, unfortunately.
Oh, you guys didn't play?
No, we did my junior year, 2022, and we won 2-0 on two solo home runs.
Man.
That game is funny because I was batting third, and our leadoff was the University of Oregon guy. Our two-hitter was the Oregon State guy, and the Oregon State guy is a lefty, Levi Jones. Levi gets first pitch fastball kind of like middle away and just taps it. Or not taps it. He hit it pretty well. But hits it for a home. Or no, his middle end gets jammed and still hits it for a home run like in left center. And very next pitch was, so Paul had topped out at 95 before that. Very next pitch was to me high and away at 96 miles an hour. His new personal best out of rage. And then yeah. I walked on five pitches, so I got on. I can say that.
There you go.
Yeah. That game was definitely interesting.
And I don't know how many people know this, but, you know, you mentioned that you also played first base from the sounds of it.
Yeah.
You batted 373 with five home runs and 27 RBIs as a first baseman your senior year, on top of being this top pitching prospect. So, yeah, I mean, I guess what was that like being able to hit your senior year? You obviously tore it up, and just that experience.
I would consider my senior year not quite as good as my junior year. Because junior year I was like 470 with like four home runs, but and just a ton of doubles. But yeah, I was obviously a little more focused on doing both junior year. But senior year, like, it was really like, okay, I'm a pitcher. Like, that's kind of decided. But yeah, like, I got to still have the chance to focus on hitting. Like, I wanted to win, and I think that being able to hit is obviously going to be a large factor to contributing towards the team. And like, especially when I'm pitching, like, want to be able to mercy a team so that way I keep the bullet count in my arm a little higher.
Right.
Don't throw as much, but yeah.
And then you trained at the Roque, from what I've heard, with Paul Wilson and some other guys. I heard that Adley Rutschman trains there.
Yeah.
So what was it like to be able to train at a facility like that with the trainers there, those other high-tier players?
Yeah, it's great. They had what was called the Elite Group, which was kind of like the top high school baseball players in the state. And there was like, what, three guys from Jesuit, and then Paul and a couple other guys from Lake Ridge where he went, and a guy from Tiger. Like, it was a handful of guys, all guys that want to get better. And that was, I think, one of the most kind of, I don't know, important parts of like my career is joining like Roque, because I got way stronger. I got way quicker. I was moving way better and put on a lot of muscle. And ultimately, that it really helped me be able to, like, strengthen, like, my mechanics and work on, like, finding that the mechanics that work for me, because I was able to have my body coordinate enough to know what I'm doing in my motion. And I think that is, like, probably the biggest factor in, like, my development.
Were you able to pitch to Adley at all, or have you met Adley?
I've met Adley a couple times. I worked out with that group over the winter while I was back in Oregon. Adley, Paul was in that group, Mick, Dylan McLean, a Central Catholic, handful of other guys that I got to meet for the first time there. But yeah, really, really cool. Carson Kelly, name another.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So it was, yeah, they definitely know what they're doing there.
Yeah. So what's your most memorable baseball experience in your career so far?
Most memorable would be probably pitching out in Carolina. I guess if the draft, if you count that, but I guess that's,
you forgot about that part. You blacked
that's
out.
That's an offspring of baseball. Like that, as far as playing baseball, probably pitching out in North Carolina, because I got to bring the high school, the high school team was there. They're awesome. They're a second family. So to go take a trip to us out of the country and play baseball with them. Like that was just, it's just an awesome experience. And pitching in that game, like facing the number one team, lots of hype around it, tons of scouts in the stands because their pitcher now at Arkansas, Hunter Dietz, he's going to be high draft pick his junior year. They had like a ridiculous team. And I don't know, that something about that was just, I don't know, it was best baseball I think I've played.
Yeah, different environment, being away from home, you know, across the country to where, you know, in the South, baseball's a huge sport and a lot of talent down there. Who's your favorite big leaguer currently? And then who do you see yourself as? I guess we already covered profile-wise, you're kind of Jacob DeGrom. But who's your favorite big leaguer currently that you're watching and that you watch most?
Big leaguer currently, the Mariner fan in me says Julio Rodriguez. I don't know, seeing him and rest of the team go to the playoffs in 22. I think that was, I don't know, the kid in me was jumping up and down. But like, I guess pitcher, probably Jacob DeGrom. He's just like smooth, 102, like kind of built similarly. That's just always fun to watch. And he's on the mound, just dominating, dissecting everybody. Like he pitches like he's almost like he throws like low 90s, like he has to be crafty, like just to get people off balance. But then it's 98 to 101 consistently with a ton of carry. He's missing bats every time. It's like, what, 13 strikeouts per nine every single outing. Like it's just so fun to watch.
When you're able to dot up 102 at the knees on that lower outside corner,
it's ridiculous. Yeah.
Then that's when you get all the guys swinging over that slider because you have to be able to protect against that. You have no chance.
It's unfair.
Yeah. Did you go to that Mariners playoff game in 22?
I wish. No, I didn't.
Okay. Who are you most excited to play with in the coming years?
I mean, in upcoming years, I would say Thomas, because I think Thomas and I are probably on a very similar track to just for the future. And I think kind of seeing his development and just working with him, it's going to be very fun and very exciting. But as far as somebody like I want to play against, like say the major leagues, play with, I mean, I got to meet Arias once at the All-Star game. It'd be really cool to play with him or to pitch against someone like Acuna. Like that's obviously probably one of the tougher challenges, but I think it'll be, I mean, why not challenge myself?
Yeah, right. Playing in the NL East, you'll see some of those guys. That'll be some good matchups. And then what's your favorite thing to do outside of baseball? Who are you outside of the field? What do you do to relax and de-stress?
Just play video games, hang out with my friends. Or I guess play video games with my friends. Read, watch movies, watch TV shows, like all that. Just kind of, I would say I'm a pretty decent movie buff.
Okay. Do you have like a top five?
I do. Blade Runner 2049, The Prestige. What is it? What was next? Ford versus Ferrari, the original Blade Runner, and then Seven.
Seven.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got that list dialed in. And The Prestige, that's from like 10 years ago, right?
Yeah, that's an incredible movie.
Awesome. Well, Noble, really appreciate you taking the time today. It's been great getting to know you a little bit. Best of luck this year. And from all of us baseball fans, the Marlins fans out there, thank you for your time. And we look forward to seeing you out on the field.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Ready through the first five hitters.
Slider, the change, the quick pitch.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. from plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.